Well, it's time for Monday Night Rugby. We have the Irish Independent's Rory O'Connor here in the studio. We have Shane Jennings on the line. So Leinster beat Munster 16 points to 15 at the RDS. They have a Pro 14 final next Saturday. 6 o'clock is the kickoff team time, against Scarlets at the Aviva. And Ulster's very difficult season has at least finished on a high. They will have Champions Cup rugby next year after beating the Ospreys 35 points to 17 in Belfast yesterday, in front of just about 6,000 fans, interestingly enough. Rory, talking about Leinster-Munster first, there were some brilliant moments, but we've certainly seen higher quality versions of this fixture. It would seem Leinster are in get-the-job-done mode over the last two games.
A little bit. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game. Yeah, there were moments where the quality was, you know, less than what you'd expect from these two teams, but you have to remember the stage of the season we're at. The stakes were pretty high for both teams, probably less so from Leinster to a degree, because they already, I think they could, you know, they could happily sign off now this season and call it a success, whereas Munster, having lost so heavily in Bordeaux, started so poorly in Bordeaux, kind of needed to perform and probably needed to win more. But this Leinster winning machine just keeps on rolling. Racing asked all sorts of questions of them in Bilbao a week previously, and they came through just about. And then Munster asked different questions of them and stressed them quite a bit and put them under pressure and had their set piece and a bit of difficulty. And yet they managed it out. Their bench was really, really big for them.
Bench made a big difference to the scrum.
Big difference, especially in the scrum, yeah. And I think the lack of depth Munster had, you know, they had to play Kieran Parker there, who was very limited experience, you know, coming off the bench, you know, because Stephen Archer got injured. It just, all those things that we know are the differences between these two teams manifested themselves over the course of the 80 minutes. But, I mean, Munster will probably never get a better chance with, say, you know, with Sexton, Kearney, Henshaw and Dan Levy taken out, as well as the players who were on the long-term injury list. You know, 7 days after European title win, they would have probably fancied their chances coming up the road, but this Leinster team is just in a really good place right now, and even when they make all those changes, they're able to manage a game through, control the game in the way they did, and just refuse to give in and to lose. Munster were their own undoing with their skills and their discipline to a degree, but Leinster will take that all day. I mean, to win that game 7 days after winning a European Champions Cup final is very, very impressive. Mm.
Shane, what did you make of it in broad terms?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But certainly the start of it, I thought we were going to be in for a cracker. They were both herring into each other. Munster started well, and then obviously Leinster getting that early try as well. But I thought the intensity was up, the speed of the ball was up. People were smashing each other in ruck. Tyke Furlong did a great clear out when James Lowe made that break. I thought, here, we're in for one of the classics here. But unfortunately, through, I think, a bit of fatigue, a bit of lads carrying knocks, a bit of pressure and all of the above, people kind of tightened up and it didn't kind of manifest into what I'd certainly hoped it would be. But, you know, it was still a good game and still enthralling. And, you know, for obviously Leinster supporters and Leinster team management to get through that game, which would have been so, so difficult, just purely on who they're playing. And, like, Munster would have been licking their lips all week having the opportunity to do it. And then from the emotional high that they had to try and come down and prepare and get a week's training done to come up against a really good Munster team. Like, you can never underestimate Munster, whether you're playing them in the RDS, whether you're playing them whatever. Munster-Leinster is just always such a difficult game. So I thought it was really impressive, to be honest, by Leinster, because it would have been a difficult week for everybody involved. Coaches trying to get a feel for how they should manage their players, fellas are injured, not injured, trying to manage that kind of scenario is difficult. So all in all, I'd say Leo Cullen and the coaching staff were absolutely thrilled with it.
Yeah, it seems Easton Asewa didn't train all week and was really only ever going to play half a game. So he was just thrown out there. And James Lowe basically said, Easton's a god amongst men afterwards and we all want to be him. So I think the Leinster players were certainly appreciative of the efforts he put in. That first 20 minutes, Shane, 25 minutes, James Lowe was certainly at the forefront of the liveliness. And there was a real pattern as well of Munster trying to put Leinster under pressure. There was lots of Munster players shooting up out of defence, and then a quick tip-on pass maybe from a Leinster player was leading to a lot of joy. Eventually, Munster maybe got to the grips of that. But that first 25 minutes, Leinster were definitely punching some holes.
Yeah, they were. And I think it kind of shows, like, guys who were somewhat fresher maybe than guys who've been playing week in, week out for a while, and they were probably champing at the bit to get the opportunity, the likes of Jack Cohn and obviously James Lowe, who had a really impressive game. they're the people you want to make an impact, and they're the people that you want to obviously kind of take the lead and get their hands on the ball early and make an impact and get the offloads. Like, his work rate was just incredible, in fairness. Like, after he made that carry, hitting the ruck, getting back up on his feet to be able to offer again. And if you look at it as well, Jack Conan was very prominent as well. So I think the combination of that, those kind of two guys who wanted to make an effort or wanted to make an impact, Jack McGrath, obviously, and then, you know, you got to give credit to a lot of the guys. I don't mean to say in any way, like, oh, it was so difficult because we tried to do it when we were playing, but to manage the highs, the injuries, and then come back and play against a really good team in tough conditions because it was hot, it was really good. And I think those guys made a kind of an impact from the word go. And like you said, Issa's kind of on one leg, and I guarantee you he was one of probably 30 lads that are injured, bashed up, and just trying to get through to the end of the season, where Leinster lads, there's the bit of the glitter at the end of it, and it's worth it when you're struggling to get into semi-finals, finals. It can be different, and it can be a different kind of challenge. So listen, I've said it already, it was just a brilliant, brilliant game, and I am delighted for them, because they have the opportunity to do something that no Leinster team has ever done before.
Rory, I'm curious to get your sense of how the Munster team and management feel about this season. Like, I saw Tony Ward today in the Irish Independent describing the game as a damp squib at the end. This is from a Munster perspective. A damp squib at the very end of a mixed season, which would be an honest Munster flatter to deceive. And I saw Peter O'Mahony seemed very downbeat just reading his comments. You can maybe give us an insight into his demeanour. But he said, we have to improve across the board. Guys have got to understand we have to take another step now in a couple of aspects of our game. And Johan van Graan then was asked about what they need to do to improve on the season that was. And he said, number one, we want to improve our skill set. And he was talking about just the mistakes, errors, basic execution. So it seemed, reading those quotes and just looking at body language, even through the prism of television, like a group who feel a good bit behind this Leinster side and almost are looking at some basic mistakes as much as the big stuff, like sorting out who plays 10.
They're almost unfortunate that they, you know, I think getting to a semi-final in both competitions, you know, when you write down your goals at the start of the season, it's probably not a bad end of the season, particularly given the change and where they've come from. You know, Razzy Erasmus leaving was played down by a lot of the players, but it had to be a massive thing. You know, I mean, to undergo a coaching change in November, you know, for everyone there, it was always going to be a massive challenge for them. And to come through that and to qualify for the European knockout stages, to beat Toulon, albeit I thought Toulon were the better team that day, but they managed that game and they managed to pull it out of the bag at the end. I think they probably, last season, I suppose they've gone backwards slightly. They got to the semi-final last season in Europe and they got to the final of the Pro 14, and they finished both of those games very disappointingly. And again, they've probably come away from both of their end games in a pretty disappointing fashion. So while they've achieved quite a lot through, you know, the controversy over Gerbrand Gobler, which would, you know, came in a very important part of the season, and they were very upset about that. The fact that they changed coaches mid-season, they've had a couple of, you know, important injuries around in certain positions. You know, Tyler Blindell was their number 110 and he's barely played all season. Chris Farrell, was taken from them when he was just starting to look like a real find. And yet they expect so much. And how many times in the next couple of years are they going to have Conor Murray, Peter O'Mahony, CJ Stander fit at the same time at the business end of the season? Zeebo's gone. And for all that you can play that down, I think he's a massive loss.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't talked about that enough and just what a monumental loss he's going to be.
Well, Dunnacha Ryan went last year as well. And just you keep chipping away at what you have. Your collective is not as strong as Leinster's. You have a couple of really strong individuals that you build the whole thing around. And you take one away every year and you replace him. You know, Ty Burns coming in, good signing. Is he Dunnacha Ryan? He's a very different kind of player. And then they have a fullback coming in at Mike Haley, I think his name is, from Sale, who's Irish qualified. He was a good player, but you know, Simon Zeebo, there's a reason Racing Metro have gone out and shelled out a huge amount of money for him. He's a proper star. He didn't play well, particularly well on Saturday, but he's still able to create that try for Keith Earls. And then you go back to their basics and you look at what Connacht did under Pat Lamb a couple of seasons ago. 12 passes from 11 different players went to deck or were almost intercepted over the course of the game, over 80 minutes the other day. That's just too high, you know. I mean,
12 from 11 different players.
Yeah, and they weren't really under pressure. You know, they were obviously they're pressure passes because you're trying to find men in space. But at the same time, they're the kind of passes that were sticking for Leinster by and large. And that was a tired Leinster team. Munster had 2 weeks to prepare for that game.
Yeah.
So look, I don't think they're like. I think getting to a European semi-final, really good achievement. their performance there probably undermined that a little bit, but you can't get away from what they did in that pool. They acknowledged, and Johan Granholm was very hard to hear during the press conference because he was so disappointed. He was almost whispering at the press conference. Omani was far stronger in what he said. But Van Gran did say, we need to get a home semi-final in this tournament next season. And that you do that by being consistent week in, week out. And that's where Leinster's squad came in. You know, Ross Byrne, I thought, was excellent on Saturday. He filled in for Johnny Sexton really well over the course of the season. It's your squad members that get you that top spot. It's your the quality of your overseas signings. It's Scott Farrelly pitching up when everyone else has gone and playing Six Nations rugby. You know, I know Scarlets went and won it away, but they're the only team who've ever done it. They've done it 2 years in a row. In this competition, a home advantage is there. So look, there's a lot in that, but I think it's the quality of player they have is not as strong as Leinster, so they've got to find another way. And if their basic skills, their discipline, 12-6, I think the penalty count was against them. Jan Klein, stupid yellow card.
Crazy.
All these things kind of add up to a season that, you know, I think on paper is not bad, but when you take into account the way it ended on both fronts, is going to be a little bit disappointing as they go to the summer.
Yeah, I think Munster fans would share that assessment. I think that's a very fair way Rory's teased it out, Shane. Even the 12 passes from 11 different players at the weekend, like they're coming at this from the opposite perspective of Leinster, in that they've been gunning for this game and targeting this game for a few weeks, a lot of prep time for this game. There was this lingering sense throughout that there was a breakdown coming in whatever passing move they were trying to execute. They don't tend to inspire confidence when they've got the ball in hand and they're trying to stress a defence for whatever reason. Skills, obviously, basic skill set is what Johan Van Gran's talking about.
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing from a Munster supporter's point of view for exactly what you said. But also, you're talking about Simon Zeebo. You talk about he's this special player and he can do... Like, by his accounts, he would have had a very disappointing reflection on that game. He didn't play well and that was his opportunity. So, you know, players who are deemed their leaders, who are their best players, they got to produce the goods on the day. And if they don't, they're not just going to get the results. And I think it's really disappointing because I think Simon Zeebo is better and he knows he's better than what he performed at the weekend. And it was disappointing for him probably on a personal level to end with Munster like that after all the good things he's done. Mm. And yet you see on occasion, he does one thing like that pass to Keith Earls, which was just pretty exceptional. But by and large, the skill level, I think under their own admissions, would have let them down. Now, not to say in any way patronising or whatever, but it's nice to have something that you can point your finger at and you go, do you know what, we're going to actually improve on this. We're going to get better at this. We're going to get much better at our basics, whether it's catch pass, whether it's continuity, whether it's offload, whatever it may be. They can focus on that because they've got the elements of a very strong team in terms of confrontational, good at breakdown, their defence is solid, good attacking people on the good attacking people throughout the back line. But you've highlighted also the importance, just like Leinster have, they have importance of certain players, but the likes of Conor Murray, CJ Stanner and Peter Manny, if you take them out of it, and especially Keith Earls as well, who are the next kind of group of leaders that you go, okay, we're going to drive this team on. And I think it's in one side, you question it, but at the other side, it's exciting. And I think they've got the opportunity now to kind of get a bit of a siege mentality and say, okay, we've got to prove to a lot of people and we've got to prove to ourselves and the former players of what it meant to be a part of this club and the success that they brought. And it's a big opportunity for them, but it is also a big challenge.
Yeah, I'll ask you in a moment where you think they need to strengthen in terms of personnel over the summer. Matt Williams was on OTBAM this morning, and certainly he's an advocate of Joey Carberry going to Munster. Here's a short clip of what Matt was saying this morning.
No, I know Joey Carberry's heart is at Leinster. It would be a very, very good move for him and a very good move for Munster. Look, in modern rugby, your halves are absolutely crucial. They probably have always been, but as defences have improved and the science behind defence, which is easy to do, defence is easy, it's a negative. The negative is always easy. Attack is hard. Creating space and attacking that space, that is really, really hard. And you need a 9 and 10 that can do that. Now, Munster have got one of the best nines in the world. And maybe if it was France, it might be slightly different. But they need, if you can shut down Conor Murray, you can pretty much shut down Munster. They need someone else out there. Now, they're letting Zeebo go, or Zubo's going. I don't know if he's been let go, but he's going. So he had an X factor. Where's the rest of the X factor going to come from? And Quinny's right. But beyond that, you know, they got to catch and pass. They've got to have some basics, and they've got to make good decisions. Now, two semi-finals in a row, Munster have walked away from points at crucial times in the game and gone for the sideline. And they've lost both Europe and the domestic league by a single point, by single points. If they had taken their points that were on offer, they would have done it. Now Quinny mentioned Rog, Ron O'Gara there. He would have taken those points. There's some really bad on-field decisions being made as well. And if they simply had to change a couple of those things, we'd be talking about something different.
For people who didn't see the game, I presume there he's referring, Rory, to 69 minutes and there's a kick from about 35 metres potentially and O'Mahony decides to go for the corner. He was fairly unrepentive afterwards. He'd say he'd totally happy with his decision afterwards.
Yeah, and funny, watching it back on the Sky commentary, pretty much everyone went, oh, you know, it's corner. Everyone was, you know, all the analysts at the time were saying it's the right decision. It's only afterwards, you know, that people probably, you know, came to question it. You got to know your players. You know, Ian Keatley has been slightly unreliable from the tee. That's probably the edge of his range a little bit. And they had a bit of momentum behind them. But James Ryan gets up in front and just doesn't take it, but spoils it. And then James Tracy comes up with a big play to turn it over. And it, you know, it looks like a bad decision at the end of the day. But like, you know, say England in 2015 when they went to the, you know, went for them all that time instead of taking their points. I wouldn't really question Peter O'Mahony too strongly there. I think, you know, you got to take your decision. You got to back your captain in those regards. And there's no guarantee that they would have nailed that kick. I thought it was a decent decision, but they got to, you know, if you're going to take that decision, then you got to execute off the line.
Yeah, you're back to basics then. And what about the Carberry point, Shane?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, like I personally see, obviously, you see massive potential in Joey Carberry. Have I seen the Finnish article, or have you seen someone who can go down and influence a different team, squad, environment? The questions are out, you know. He hasn't proven anything, and that's not to be critical of the guy. He's a young man and he's developing and learning. Like, I don't know what the position with Tyler Blendenhall is at the moment. Is he struggling with injury? Is he going to come back? But like, Munster have an exceptional 10 in him and has proved himself, you know.
It's definitely a question mark. I think he's had his second neck surgery now, hasn't he, of his career?
No
one wants to have a third neck surgery, I can say that.
No, bloody, nobody wants to have one, to be fair. So,
but you're saying it's not so straightforward to just send Carberry down and think that he'll flourish at a club which have such huge expectations. There's still some question marks there over whether or not he can do that.
Of course there are. Of course there are. And there's question marks over him in Leinster, or if there's question marks wherever he go, because he's a young man and he has to develop and he has to learn. But I think he has the ability to do it 100%. But saying that he go down and he'll change Munster to become winning on this, that and the other, that's just unrealistic of anybody to expect that of them. I think they have to, like, I just know from years gone by when Munster played and what Matt was talking about, Ron O'Gara, they kind of had it, even if they, I'm not questioning the decision, if they went to the decision, you knew you're going to have to defend for a good 5 minutes or whatever it was, or 30, 40 potential phases, because they were going to be clinical, they were going to execute their line-out, they were going to have a good maul, they were going to be very hard to sack. Whereas they just didn't seem to, or they haven't imposed themselves on one structured game plan. And listen, it's not fair to me to criticise like this, because the perception is that they don't have any perceived strong game plan. Or they may do, but they just unfortunately didn't execute it. Like, if I was playing against Munster and they were going into the corner, I was like, I'm in for a tough next couple of minutes here, and we got to really kind of dig in. Mm. And if we do, that could potentially be the start of breaking them. Whereas they just never executed on it, and they never kind of applied a considerable amount of pressure to test Leinster and really try and break them. So I think they need to kind of peel it back and go back to basics and go, okay, fundamentally, where do we want to improve? Where do we want to get a stranglehold of teams? And then with that pressure, we can squeeze out penalties in easier positions, maybe build leads and things like that. So I think it's easy to say, oh, they didn't take the points, therefore they're going to lose the game. Listen, he made a call, you back it, and you kind of, you have to execute in the better positions.
Yeah, everything's easy in hindsight. So if you were sitting around, if you were down in Munster and you're sitting around at board level and they're saying, Shane, where do we need to strengthen? What positions? I know I'm not asking you to come up with names necessarily, but if you're looking at what Van Graan has to work with, does he need a new 10? Does he need more in the back line? How's the pack looking? Obviously, Tadhg Byrne's going to arrive. Like, realistically, if you're given two or three choices, where is absolutely paramount for Munster to strengthen up?
Well, I think you saw when the front row came on for Leinster and the strength and depth they have there, the impact, like, as good a front row coming onto the pitch as one that started, is just, you need six quality players in your squad. Like, and when I say quality, I mean international quality nearly. Now, whether they can get that, I don't know, but, or the people that are there, like, you know, Dave Kilcoyne's been there for a while. He needs to impose himself. He needs to show that he is an international player. These kind of guys, if they don't have the opportunity to go out with their second rows going, they could probably bolster their second row a bit. You know, their back row is always going to be good. They've got good players in and around there. But, like, it's strength and depth. It's once you go past that first 15 in certain areas, you go, do you know what? This is where we really need to look at. And that's where the big teams really have the opportunity to impose themselves. And I think, like you said earlier on, Ross Byrne did very well when Jonathan Sexton wasn't around. You got James Lowe coming in, where many people wouldn't have known that type of kind of player, where there's good recruiting in and around kind of Waikato province, or the kind of provincial rugby in New Zealand has a lot of good players who would do a job at a Pro 14 level. So I think they need a game break. You know, Keith Earls isn't obviously going to be there the whole time for them. And they do have challenges. Jeepers. I don't know if I'd like to be on that board, to be honest, because they do have challenges.
What's jumping out for you?
A number of areas, but unfortunately, I think their business is done for next season. They've signed Arno Botha, the South African flanker who failed a medical with Ulster last year and ended up at London Irish, played 5 or 6 games, and is coming to them, which is a little bit, you know, he's played very, very little rugby. He won 2 or 3 caps as a very young man. He's huge, like an enormous South African ball carrier who's going to be playing in their back row. But his injury profile, you know, they you would hope they've learned from Blaenel, and he got injured after they signed him, but it's not an encouraging injury profile, to say the least. Mike Hady's coming in as fullback. He's Irish qualified from Sale, as I mentioned. And then there's Tadhg Byrne. There might be scope for one or two, but really I don't think there's a huge amount of scope for them to go into the market and spend a lot of money. I don't think there's a huge amount of money there either. And also, when you're looking for those kind of James Lowe kind of players, the rule change in December, which means it's now 5 years to qualify for play for Ireland, means that carrot is now gone. It's very hard to convince a player to come over and live in Ireland for 5 seasons before qualifying, whereas 3 was more realistic.
Unless there's astronomical money, which they don't have.
Which they don't really have. So I think that...
Are there murmurings down there about 10? I know, like, you have to be fair to the lads who are there, and we don't know the Blaenel situation fully at all, but do you get the sense when you're down there for press conferences that is to their forefront of their minds?
I think so. I think Carberry's they're in the conversation about Carberry now. I think they're probably more likely than Ulster to get Carberry if he does leave Leinster, although I think it's still most realistic that he's going to stay.
Have they inserted themselves into that conversation?
I think so, yeah. And I think Ulster have gotten a little bit of cold feet a little bit that, you know, maybe he doesn't, if it's a 1-year loan deal, well, if he doesn't want to come up here, maybe we'll get on what we have, and they'll maybe try and recruit from outside. It seems to be very much, you hear something different every day with Joey Carberry, but I know no firm decision has been taken, and if I was to put money on it, I still think he's going to stay. I think his head is wrecked with it, and he's trying to perform in all these big games. You know, I'm hearing about sleepless nights and this sort of stuff, so his performances probably haven't been as good, which is unfortunate, because, you know, he's a really good player, and he's, you know, started for Leinster at the weekend and wasn't really able to bring what he brought at the start of the season. So,
and is the sense that Munster would be okay with a 1-year loan deal? I presume they wouldn't.
I don't know that, be honest. They have 4 Irish qualified 10s, so Bill Johnson is really highly thought of down there. Former under-20s player, has had a lot of bad injuries, but apparently is the one that they've always hoped will come through. They've JJ Hannon started the weekend, was unfortunate to get injured. I thought he was playing quite well when he did. And then if Keatley, who I think, you know, they've tried and probably want to move on from, will probably have to keep going back.
The Racing semi-final has been very damaging.
Yeah, I think so. And then the question is over Blaenel, whether he'll ever get back to this standard. He obviously had a very good season last year, but then played very badly against Saracens. They have, if you have 4 Irish qualified players in one position on your roster, trying to get a 5th is probably not ideal. Also, does he fit their South African coach team? He's a very New Zealand style player. Does he fit what they're trying to do? Is he a square peg in a round hole? He probably would fit Ulster a bit more because they played a bit more top of the ground style. You know, they had Leila Fano doing that. There's that question as well. So, you know, there's obviously very much a need for him to get game time with the World Cup in mind. But Leinster see him as a fullback primarily, and he's very good at it. And, you know, Stuart Lancaster's a pretty good judge of player as well. So there's a lot of strands to this conversation. It does keep changing. It's a moving story. I don't think a decision's been made yet.
Right.
But my gut is that he probably will stay in the end.
And do Leinster see him as a fullback even if Johnny Sexton was to retire in the morning?
I think he's probably up against Ross Byrne for that, but I thought Ross Byrne was excellent the weekend. He's probably more like Johnny in terms of the game control, a bit the decision making. Some of his delayed passes were almost Sexton-esque at the weekend. And when they've had a 50-50 decision for a big game, they've generally gone with Ross Byrne, with Joey involved somewhere else. Now, Rob Kearney was injured for a lot of those games, so it made sense for Carberry to play there. But he's a lovely second distributor. He pops up in really impressive attacking positions, and I think they like that about him with a bit more time and space. Then he came on at Twickenham at 10 and ran the game really well with 40 men on the pitch. So, you know, there's Joe Schmidt, obviously, is a pretty good judge of player as well, and he sees him as a 10. So did Graham Henry. But he's, as Shane said, he's still unproven, untested, and unless he's getting games at Leinster or at some provincial level, you just don't want to end up with an Ian Madigan situation on your hands where, you know, he gets to 24, 25, but just doesn't have the games under his belt and he gets thrown in the World Cup quarterfinal.
Ulster beat the Ospreys, as I mentioned. There was no Rory Best, no Ian Henderson, and Charles Piatow went down in the warm-up. Jacob Scott, Stockdale scored an intercept try. I think that brings him to 20 tries for the season, so he's either equaled or broken the Ulster record. So it's just phenomenal to see where Stockdale's going to go. Where is Stockdale going to go in his career, Shane? Because, you know, you just wonder, will we be looking back in 10 years going, God, his first season was the freakish one? And, you know, I can't really say, well, is Stockdale going to score 20 tries a season and 7 every Six Nations for the next 10 years? Because that's just impossible. It's going to be very interesting to see what his average season is like over the next few years.
Yeah, first and foremost, you got to congratulate the guy on an unbelievable season and then let him enjoy it and let him develop and things like that. But yeah, there's always second season syndrome and the challenges that go with it, and touch wood, his body doesn't break down. And you see with a lot of players, it's certainly not their ability ever, it's their management of injuries, and they get back up onto top form and then they break down again and things like that. So he's physically developed, he's well able to kind of play at this level, but like every professional will tell you, you got to do it every season and do it week in, week out. And that's going to be the challenge for him. And to have such an important first season, and people will look to him now as kind of, you know, you got to lead us a bit here, and you got to kind of get us out of games where we probably potentially don't deserve to get out of. And he has to have that expectation. So it's a huge learning curve for him. But again, a young man who has such potential, but there's always a target on. Nobody really knew about him at the start of the year. Well, with respect, in terms of some of the other players. But when you get a target on your back, the gaps are a bit smaller and people keep an eye on you, and they'll know that he's going to jump out of the line and he'll start getting challenged in different ways next year. But that's just a great test for him, and to see what his coaches in Ulster and Ireland can develop in him and kick on, because you're looking at a fellow who's pretty raw still, and look at the kind of the physical attributes he has, and then he'll tighten up on a few bits and bobs. But it's always easier when people aren't as familiar with you and you're on this hot streak. So it'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And briefly and finally, Rory, he'll be named in a 33-man squad on Wednesday to go to Australia, 3-test tour of Australia. The number 10s are looking like Sexton, Carberry, Ross Byrne. That's what we think Joe's going to take?
If he takes 3, I think that makes sense. I think, you know, he knows everything he knows. He's going to know about Ian Keighley at this stage. I think Ross Byrne probably has earned it. But he may just go with 2, because if he picks John Cooney, say, you know, Cooney can play 10. And also, if Rory Scannell goes, he can fill in there as well. I think Tyke Byrne probably should go, although he's played an awful lot of rugby this year. But I think, let's invest in him now.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's going to be your Grand Slam squad with maybe one or two surprise faces. And Bundyaki is off captain of the Babas on Sunday, so hopefully he comes through unscathed. But I think they're going fully locked and loaded to try and win the series down there.
Yeah, Johnny Sexton put any suggestions he was being rested, shot them quickly down, I think, again at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense for him, his point of view. Whatever about Joe Schmidt wrapping him in cotton wool, he's not of a mind to do so. And only one Irish team has ever won a series down the Southern Hemisphere. There's history at stake, and in a historic season, so I think they want to keep it rolling.
Yeah, Joe Schmidt's in this weird balance of trying to keep creating history and keep winning every single game, and also prepare for a World Cup, and we expect him to do both perfectly, which is the difficult task.
As long as James Ryan is there, he's probably okay.
Yeah, Joe, is James Ryan 22-0 now still?
Yeah, that's it. He's okay. On the road.
Phenomenal stuff from him again. Rory O'Connor from the Irish Independent, thank you for coming in, and Shane Jennings, as ever, thank you. We'll take a short break.
Off the Ball on News Talk.